This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This program is produced on Wurundjeri country. This is The Sound of Now on Joy 94.9.
Hello, welcome in. My name is Triana Butler. Thanks for being here today on The Sound of Now podcast edition. I get to chat with Maya, Australian artist. She's incredible. She just dropped her brand new EP, Analysis Paralysis, which might be the best titled EP of the year. It is so, so good from start to finish. She's such an exciting talent. And we got to sit down and chat all about her journey and what inspires her. Here it is. My extended chat with Maya. All right, connecting through to Gadigal country. Maya, hello. So great to chat with you.
Hi, thanks for having me.
The EP is out. Congratulations. Analysis Paralysis. Oh my goodness. This has been the first EP you've put out where we haven't been in like a lockdown era, right? Like, how does this one feel different to the last one? Because very different environments in play and very different times for you.
Yeah, I think it's more being able to experience people's reactions like in person. Like we played a lot of the songs live from the EP before it came out, and it was pretty amazing to be able to like watch people react in real time to a song, which doesn't usually happen because it's behind a screen. But yeah, it's been really awesome to be able to like do the promo and go out and I don't see people and talk about it rather than just like being in my room being like, well, this is out now.
How was the tour? I mean, there's been like a whole bunch of dates across the country, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was really, really good. It felt like we really built like a really beautiful community with the people that we were touring with, like support acts and crew members. And, you know, it was really beautiful. And all the people that showed up to the shows, just like they show up, you know, they're really there.
Well, what does a Maya fan showing up look like?
Oh god, some of them were like camping out the night before.
Really?
Outside the venues. Yeah.
Oh my god, like, that's next level.
Be safe.
And so when those fans get in, you know, are you the kind of person who's like monitoring social media to see all the tags afterwards to see what they're saying? Or are you just kind of like, it's happened and it's out in the world and it's done and I'm moving on? Like, how do you approach it?
Well, I mean, in the age of content, you kind of have to find things to put up. But I'm happy that I do look through it because you see a whole lot of stuff you would have missed. And like they are so amazing and supportive, and like they like make things and make clothes and jackets, and you know, they'll bring stuff to the shows. And sometimes they'll bring the same thing over consecutive years, and I do remember that. Like somebody brought like a JoJo Siwa cardboard cutout to the first Melbourne show, and they bring it every time. And I saw them in the crowd and I was like, you're still here.
It's a good gimmick. It's a very good gimmick.
That's great.
How
for the gays, so
what is for the gays, and you know, being that we're on the queer radio station here, you know, we are right on board. There is a real confidence in what you're doing at the moment with like owning your queerness. Like I was just thinking this morning, like the previous EP kind of felt like, and if we're going from like stage direction, it's kind of like you're like bringing the mic towards your face to sing, whereas this one feels like you're like, I'm gonna take a step forward into the mic and lean into it, you know what I mean? Like there's a confidence and a swagger there. Is that how it feels for you?
Yeah, I feel like the first EP felt very much like me navigating understanding myself and growing up, and that transition between being like a kid and being an adult while also trying to understand my queerness and trying to understand like my place in the world, so to speak, and understanding, you know, even that there's a different sort of treatment between like men and women, and like emotional understanding and self-reflection and sort of gaining a lot of self-confidence, self-consciousness, and also like self-awareness at the same sort of time. Whereas this EP felt, yeah, it does feel a lot more confident, and I feel a lot more confident in my anger, and I feel a lot more confident in the fact that I'm like, no, I'm going to say what I was too scared to say before. And I think that's not necessarily in a queer sense, because I don't think I've been really privileged to not be scared to speak up about that. But yeah, I often get a lot of questions as to like, why do you put pronouns in the songs? Like, why would you not like want to keep it palatable for everybody by just like leaving it at like you or them or, you know, the other? I was like, oh, I don't know, because I didn't really experience a whole lot of queer music growing up, and I didn't realize that until I got older.
Yeah, right. Who's queer and inspiring you at the moment?
King Princess has always been there.
Have you seen them live, by the way? Have you seen?
I did, yeah, I saw them.
I was at their Melbourne show just like earlier this year. Unbelievable. They did, like, when they did Hit the Back, the entire room just absolutely lost their shit. Which show did you see?
I saw the one at the Metro Theatre in Sydney, and I think I was like, this is awesome. This is a queer, like, rock star who's doing exactly what they want to do, and they're not boxed in, and they're just being themselves, and they have a whole band, and they're taken seriously as, you know, as a non-binary person, as just, like, all the things that surround them is kind of exactly what I want to do and where I want to be. And I think even getting like boxed in as like a woman trying to be in rock music or like harder, like rock pop, I guess, like is the kind of goal for me right now. And I think that it's hard to be taken seriously, especially by men, just as an artist in general. And they're really inspiring in that way, that I think that they've like really just been like, I don't give a fuck.
100%. You also mentioned Omar Apollo as well.
He is incredible. Just the same thing, like really feels like he's just being himself and owning it.
Hey, look, let's talk about some of the songs from this EP, because otherwise, I mean, I have to go there. Tell me about Sweat You Out My System. It was kind of the first taste that we got of this EP. For people who haven't heard it, we're going to play it now. Tell me about this song.
So yeah, my system was definitely just one of those sort of, I need to end this. I need to like, it's that sort of, you're stuck in a cycle and kind of addicted to somebody that you know that you should end like your relationship with. And, yeah, learning to like sweat that out and sort of be strong. Like you know, there's other people, other fish in the sea, you know. I think that's very prevalent throughout this EP, that theme.
You mentioned earlier when we were chatting, you know, this kind of feeling of anger in some of the songs. And it feels like there's been quite a few releases this year. That one from Cry Club comes to mind, where anger and queer anger is like right at the very forefront of the whole energy. When it comes to this EP, is there any song in particular that really sticks out to you in terms of what that emotion feels like for you?
If you like it like that. Specifically, like that song feels like the peak of anger. I always wanted to do a song with more screaming, but I just feel like I could never get it to work, or I could never convince the people that I was working with to let me do it. That one is kind of the closest that I've gotten. I definitely want to do more screaming stuff in the future. That's a bit more full on. But yeah, that one felt like an argument in a song to me.
How's the reaction to that one been like when you've been able to perform it live? Because obviously that's a new experience for you, is kind of testing the waters with these songs, right?
Definitely. And it feels a lot harder live. Like it's a lot more intense, and it feels a lot angrier. And the reaction was really good. And I was really impressed with that, I guess, especially like going from playing a lot of the older stuff that's a lot more like soft pop, and going into that and sort of being like, I don't know if this is what you signed up for, but this is what you're going to get, I guess.
But they're coming with you on the journey, though. It feels like the fans that have been there from the start are sticking with you, and you're bringing in new fans who are really appreciating kind of this new era and what you're doing there.
Yeah, it's really cool. Like people evolving with you, because you've also got to like acknowledge that, like, yeah, you're growing and you feel so different from the last person that you were, but no one's expecting you to stay the same because they're also growing at the same rate. And it's just like super lucky that you have people around you that are growing in the same direction. And like they'll either grow in a different direction and have the original thing as a nostalgic thing grow with you, or you'll just get new people that like find you at that point.
One of the absolute highlights off this EP for me, Superior Liar. My jaw was on the floor when I heard this. Oh my God. Like, melodically, it's a little similar to kind of Apricots, but you take it in this really, it's almost like Muse kind of direction.
That's so fully, that was the reference.
Really?
100%. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's exactly what, you're like one of the only people to pick up on that.
Proud of that. Tell me about how the song came together.
I think that I was in a cycle of writing the same song again and again and like couldn't quite get out of it. And I felt like a little bit uninspired. And I was talking to the person that I make all of my music with, which is Robbie Dessart. And we were talking about, I think he was watching like Married at First Sight or something. And he was like, oh my God, this girl said, you know, the word superior liar. And I immediately knew, I was like, that's what we have to write about today. And I was like, okay, that feels very like mystical and serious and, you know, dramatic. And he was like, yeah, it feels like it could be on a soundtrack. So we started thinking about like the worlds that we would want to be involved in. It's like the Twilight soundtrack and like the Batman soundtrack and that kind of real like movie influence. And I think that really shaped the dramatic feel of the song. But I was thinking about that baseball scene from Twilight.
Where, oh my God, yes. Playing. With Supermassive Black Hole. I just want to nerd out about the Twilight soundtrack. And I feel like we actually had this conversation when we had Mallrat in, because she mentioned the OC soundtrack, and they're done by the same person, Alexandra Patsavis, who's just an absolute...
Oh, hey.
Yeah, yeah. She's a super genius.
They're the two soundtracks that I talk about all the time. I didn't know it was the same person.
It's the one woman in charge of music direction on the OC and on Twilight. God. And on... You know what? Hang on. Let me just... We're going to go sideways, but I'm going to do it.
The three or four that I always talk about is those two, the 10 Things I Hate About You soundtrack and the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse soundtrack, because they are all incredible.
Can I read you a list of shows that Alexandra Patsavis has worked on? The OC, Grey's Anatomy, Private Practice, Supernatural, Chuck, Gossip Girl, Scandal, Riverdale, Lucifer, Inventing Anna, Bridgerton, Twilight Saga. Like, it just keeps going.
Bridgerton. That's all like modern music in piano, old style.
Yeah. Like classical. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Classical Ed Sheeran songs. Yeah.
So yeah, that's obviously the inspiration coming through there. Hey, let's play this song. Superior Liar. Here it is. It's Maya. You're on Joy 94.9. This is The Sounder now. Absolutely no notes on that. Maya is with us. That is Maya's track, Superior Liar, off of the EP Analysis Paralysis that came out on Friday. Maya is right here with us. I don't know. You got your pick of the board. Out of all the songs that we haven't mentioned yet, what do you want to play to bring this home?
Ah, oh, damn. It's really hard to pick. I also feel like I just forget all of my music.
Okay, so we haven't played Something Familiar. We haven't played Your Funeral. We haven't played Lola. We haven't played Guilty Conscience.
I feel like Lola is a good direction because it feels like the lighter part of the EP. I definitely have like a light and dark in these collection of songs, and Lola feels like, you know, getting kind of day drunk in the summer to me. That is the vibe of that song compared to like Superior Liar, which is like dramatically sitting in the rain.
I will ask, and I don't get to ask this question of artists too often, so this is a good moment for me personally. When you're coming up with the title for a song, and you mentioned Lola, and Lola is in all caps, we just played Superior Liar, which is in all caps, and earlier we played If You Like It Like That, which is all lowercase. What motivates you to make a song title either all lowercase or all capital letters? Is it just a feeling in the studio? Is it a feeling when you're writing it? Like, what is it?
I don't know. I think it's the visual. I always know immediately. I'm like, no, that needs to be all capitals. Superior Liar just felt so much less impactful in lowercase. I don't know. Especially like If You Like It Like That is all lowercase, but I had to like send a specific email to be like, do not make the I uppercase. Like the whole thing needs to be that. Yeah, I don't really know. I think it's just like an intuition thing with caps lock, I guess.
So what's the visual for Lola then?
Lola, it just felt like Lola is this person, this thing, this idea, this moment that you're constantly chasing, and you want it, but you don't know if it's right for you. Maybe it's like a dream or a goal or a person of you that you want to be that you're like not quite there. And I think that it's more impactful and like in your face if it's, yeah, capitalized.
All right. Well, before we play that, we got to wrap this up. Maya, thank you so, so much for joining us today. What is ahead for you in the next few months? I mean, perfect timing for the release of this EP as we come into summer, as we come into festival season. What do you got ahead?
I'm going on tour in the US, which would be fun. And then I'm going and doing Spilt Milk around Australia and a few other festivals. And then I'm just back to writing, which will be nice.
Next project?
Yeah, definitely.
Exciting. Hey, Maya, thanks so much for the chat today. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Find the full playlist on the Joy website, joy.org.au/thesoundofnow.
Huge thank you to Maya for taking the time to chat with me. Really appreciate it. If you've enjoyed this chat, you could share it online or send it to a friend who would really love to hear it. It would mean a lot and it would help get the word out there about the podcast. You can also subscribe and keep it in your podcast app forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Just follow click the follow or the subscribe or whatever button it is in your app. I think it varies between apps. But do that and you get a notification every time there's a brand new episode. Remember that live episodes at The Sound of Now go to air Monday nights at 6 p.m. on Joy 94.9. You can stream it online at joy.org.au/player and you can get the full playlist every single week at joy.org.au/thesoundofnow.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.